Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Friday, May 3rd, Pope Francis denounces a voracious economic model that leads the mining industry to strip the planet for profit. Sri Lanka's Cardinal cancels public mass, are planning more attacks on churches, and the Holy Father sends his greetings to the people of Bulgaria ahead of his apostolic visit to the Balkan nation. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins. Pope Francis met today with participants in a Vatican meeting discussing mining activities in relation to the common good. The Pope denounced a voracious economic model that he called profit-oriented, short-sighted, and based on the misconception of unlimited economic growth. Robin Gomes reports.
Addressing the group, Pope Francis said that mining, like all economic activities, should be at the service of the entire human community and should involve local communities in every phase of mining projects.
Che è indispensabile prestare speciale attenzione alle comunità aborigene con le loro tradizioni culturali.
The Pope urged special care for indigenous communities and their cultural traditions, saying they are a vulnerable minority who should be the principal dialogue partners, especially in large projects affecting their land. He noted that in various parts of the world, they are being pressured into abandoning their homelands to make room for mining projects which are undertaken without regard for the degradation of nature and culture. The Holy Father urged that mining be at the service of the human person and his or her inalienable fundamental human rights, and not vice versa.
Dobbiamo assicurare che le attività minerarie conducano allo sviluppo umano integrale.
The Holy Father said, we need to ensure that mining activities lead to integral human development of each and every person and of the entire community. In mining activities, the Pope encouraged what he called a circular economy against the unbridled tendency of extractivism, which tries to extract the greatest amount of materials in the shortest possible time and convert them into products and services that turn out polluting waste for nature. He regretted that our industrial system has not developed the capacity to absorb and reuse waste and byproducts.
Dobbiamo denunciare ed evitare questa cultura dello scarto.
The Pope said, we need to denounce and move away from this throwaway culture. The promotion of a circular economy and the reduce, reuse, recycle approach, he said, are very much in consonance with the 12th sustainable goal of the United Nations. Stressing that moderation is vital to save our common home, the Pope said that religious traditions have always presented temperance as a key component of responsible and ethical lifestyle. I'm Robin Gomes.
Turning now to world news, Cyclone Fani tore through India's eastern coast on Friday and forced the evacuation of over a million people. The Category 5 storm lashed beaches with rain and wind and affected weather as far away as Mount Everest. The India Meteorological Department said the cyclone in the Bay of Bengal hit the coastal state of Odisha on Friday morning. Around 1.2 million people were evacuated from low-lying areas and moved to nearly 4,000 shelters. In Sri Lanka, nearly 2 weeks have passed since deadly bombings killed 257 people in churches and luxury hotels on Easter Sunday. Public masses have been cancelled again for the second week in a row, and Catholic schools remain closed. Cardinal Malcolm Rangis, the Archbishop of Colombo, says he has received foreign information that further attacks were in the works. A group linked to the so-called Islamic State carried out the Easter Sunday attacks. Here's Cardinal Rangis.
We decided not to have masses this coming Sunday also because of serious information that reached our hands that there are some women who are roaming around with bombs strapped to their bodies in order to explode themselves in churches, and some of the places were also mentioned. I have asked the government to strengthen the search and cleaning up operations that are already going on of extreme elements in order to ensure that no further damage is done to human life by these misguided young people. I am hoping to celebrate around 8 o'clock on the morning, and it will be televised. But I'll have to strengthen their faith because the gospel reading from St. John explains about Peter putting out into the deep and catching a lot of fish and Jesus appearing to them on the shore than their belief. So we want to ask our people to have continuous faith in God in spite of all the difficulties that they are facing.
Thanks there to Cardinal Malcolm Ranjis, the Archbishop of Colombo in Sri Lanka. In Afghanistan, President Ashraf Ghani announced today that 175 Taliban prisoners will be released as a goodwill gesture. The move came after a traditional council called for an immediate ceasefire between the Afghan government and insurgent Taliban militants. The Taliban has so far refused to engage in direct peace talks with the government. In news from the African continent, protesters in Sudan have withdrawn some of their demands in an attempt to ease tensions with the ruling military council. Both demonstrators and the military claim their side should have a majority say in a transitional sovereign council. Sudan's military overthrew President Omar al-Bashir last month after 30 years of rule. In Benin, security forces in Cotonou fired weapons on Thursday to disperse crowds protesting against the exclusion of opposition parties from last Sunday's parliamentary election. Hundreds of people have been protesting since Wednesday and calling for President Patrice Talon to step down. A video widely shared online appeared to show government forces firing guns and using water cannon in the usually peaceful West African nation. The Electoral Commission barred opposition parties from Sunday's election, saying they were unable to meet strict criteria under a new law. The United Nations is calling for restraint, according to spokesman Stefan Dujarric.
We're closely following the unfolding developments in the Republic of Benin in the aftermath of the April 28th legislative elections, in which opposition parties were barred from participating. We know with concern the ongoing tensions and unrest resulting in the destruction of property and high-handed response from the security forces. We call on all Beninese stakeholders to exercise maximum restraint and to seek solutions to their differences through dialogue.
Results announced on Tuesday gave two parties close to President Talon total control of parliament. The Constitutional Court validated the vote tally on Thursday, which saw a 27% turnout. In other news, today is World Press Freedom Day. The theme this year centers on media for democracy, journalism, and elections in times of disinformation. Sean Patrick Lovett has the story.
The numbers speak louder than words. 95 journalists killed in the line of duty last year alone. 700 over the past 10 years, 348 imprisoned. The figures come from the International Federation of Journalists. In their own report issued in April this year, Reporters Without Borders denounces unprecedented violence against journalists and claims most victims were deliberately targeted precisely because they were doing their job. Still, journalists and reporters continue to risk their lives in conflict zones, providing truthful and reliable coverage of world events and investigating stories of crime and corruption. One of the aims of World Press Freedom Day is to pay tribute to journalists who've lost their lives in the field. Another is to assess the state of press freedom throughout the world. The World Press Freedom Index, compiled every year by Reporters Without Borders, does exactly that by evaluating the state of journalism in 180 countries. Only 24% of those countries are classified as good. Norway ranks top of the index in terms of press freedom, and Turkmenistan is at the bottom. According to the 2019 index, the hostility towards journalists expressed by political leaders in many countries has incited increasingly serious and frequent acts of violence that have fueled an unprecedented level of fear and danger for journalists. World Press Freedom Day was established by the United Nations General Assembly in 1993 and has been celebrated every year since then. This year's theme of Media for Democracy, Journalism and Elections in Time of Disinformation discusses the challenges faced by media during elections, along with the media's potential in supporting peace and reconciliation processes. I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.
Pope Francis starts off on Sunday for the first leg of his 29th apostolic journey abroad. Ahead of his departure, the Pope sent his greetings to the people of Bulgaria in a video message. Sister Carmelan Coutinho has more.
Pope Francis travels to Bulgaria on Sunday on the first leg of his two-part apostolic journey to the Balkans. He will visit North Macedonia on Tuesday. Ahead of his trip, the Pope sent his greetings to the people of Bulgaria, saying his visit will be a pilgrimage in the sign of faith, unity, and peace.
La vostra terra
è patria di testimoni della fede.
Your land is the homeland of witnesses of faith from the time when the saintly brothers Cyril and Methodius sowed the gospel there, he said. Pope St. John Paul II often said, their evangelizing efforts brought abundant fruit even in difficult times, said Pope Francis. He noted his meeting on Sunday with Patriarch Neophyte and the Holy Synod of the Bulgarian Orthodox Church.
Insieme manifesteremo la volontà di seguire il Signore Gesù.
Together we will manifest our willingness to follow the Lord on the path of fraternal communion among all Christians, he said. Pope Francis also recalled Pope St. John XXIII, who spent 10 years as apostolic delegate to Bulgaria and created a bond of esteem and affection that still lasts today. The Pope said his predecessor was a man of faith, communion and peace, and that he chose the motto for his apostolic visit to Bulgaria with him in mind, Pacem in Terris. Pope Francis concluded his video message asking all to pray for his visit.
Dio conceda pace e prosperità alla Bulgaria.
May God grant peace and prosperity to Bulgaria. I'm Sister Carmelan.
The Vatican Secretary of State, Cardinal Pietro Parolin, spoke to Vatican News about the Pope's visit to Bulgaria and North Macedonia and about what he expects its highlights to be. Linda Bordoni has the details.
Unity between Christians, solidarity with migrants and refugees, and putting faith into action are likely to be the highlights of Pope Francis's visit to the Balkan nations.
Partirei proprio dal logo.
Speaking to Vatican News on the eve of the Pope's departure for Bulgaria and North Macedonia, the Cardinal Secretary of State pointed to the logo and motto of the trip to Bulgaria, which is Pacem in Terris, Peace on Earth, the title of an encyclical by Pope St. John XXIII, the first visitor and apostolic delegate to the country. The theme of peace, which was central to John XXIII's pontificate, the Cardinal said, will be built upon by Pope Francis, with those very attitudes of which John XXIII was a witness. The search for friendship, gentleness, amiability, encounter with the other, the capacity to highlight what unites more than what divides.
Mettere in rilievo ciò che unisce più che quello che divide.
And with an eye to the Pope's schedule in Bulgaria that lists a moment of prayer before the thrones of Saint Cyril and Methodius, as well as a series of ecumenical encounters, Parolin noted that the visit shines the spotlight on some particularly significant figures of the present and the past, such as those of the two saints. The witness they provide in their search for unity adds meaning to the Pope's encounter with the people of Bulgaria. That's to take place in a dimension of ecumenical fraternity. Other highlights that stand out include a visit to a refugee camp and a visit to the poor. Cardinal Parolin recalled the four verbs chosen by the Pope in calling for solidarity and action regarding migrants and refugees: welcome, protect, promote, and integrate. He pointed out that the Pope carries forward this teaching with concrete gestures, just as he does when calling for solidarity and inclusion for the poor. I'm Linda Bordoni.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. Many thanks go to our sound engineers in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins.